Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
Man, a man. It's 8:07 on O'Connor Egg Company, and this is quite a time to be alive. Never thought I'd live to see this day, Julie Gunlock, but we did. And honestly, I thought what we would see is incrementalism, sort of the John Roberts thing. It's like, okay, we're gonna take away this part of Roe, or a little bit, you know, or like undermine a bit.
These conservative justices, they're not messing around, man. No. They're getting things done.
Nor should they. The Constitution is the Constitution.
That's right. We don't need this Roberts mushy kind of.
50 years is enough. Coming up at 8:15, Susan Campbell, who runs a pregnancy center in Lynchburg, was vandalized over the weekend. We'll talk to her. And then at 8:35, Madison DeBoss, cross-country runner, her relay team ran against a biological male. Can I say her in this context? I don't want to get into trouble with anyone. Joining us right now, Dr. Kevin Roberts, president of the Heritage Foundation. And well, Dr. Roberts, I think it's fair to say that Heritage Foundation has been right up there with conservative groups and pro-life groups from day one. Here we are. It's really something to behold, isn't it?
It's hard to believe. I mean, what a great day to be alive in the United States of America. I'm sure y'all had the same reaction as we did at Heritage on Friday, where we get the decision, you know, we're anticipating it because of the opinion, but because of that strange dynamic known as the Chief Justice, you're not quite sure if it's going to be a full-throated opinion. And of course it happens, and it's just a sign that the Lord's still smiling on this great republic.
Can I ask you a question? As a conservative thought leader, and certainly somebody who's running an important conservative institution like the Heritage Foundation, I think it's fair to say a lot of people became conservatives or Republicans on one issue. They have quarrels with other policies that Republicans and conservatives have upheld. But on life, that brought a lot of people into the fold and into the tent. Is there a danger now that if this issue is not as prominent or not as important or critical now that Roe is gone, that in some way that might deteriorate some of the coalitions that have been built?
Gosh, Larry, I love that question because I think you're right. I mean, I spend a lot of my time, as the two of you know, trying to make sure the conservative movement is cohered, that in spite of whatever differences of opinion we have on certain issues, that we're working together toward elections, but most of all toward an America where there's greater self-governance. But to the point of your question, yes, I think that is a risk, but I am not too worried about that for this reason. There is going to be so much effort required by pro-lifers to get better pro-life laws passed in state capitals. We have 20 states where basically it will be impossible to get an abortion. Obviously, that means that in a majority of states, we have to be busy about passing pro-life laws in those places. You've had some folks on your show already this morning, like my friend Catherine Glenn Foster, who are instrumental in this. Heritage is really, really involved in a dozen or more states where we need better pro-life legislation. All of that to say, but I think once that reality sets in the coming days and weeks, amplified by the unhinged rhetoric of the left, I don't think that pro-lifers and conservatives generally are going to lose their mettle and somehow leave the field.
Heritage has been just such a big part of fighting for life. You've always provided great information on this issue, and you have scholars who cover this issue, and you're doing that now. Tell us about this new interactive map that you have on that gives people guidance on gestational protections for the unborn.
Well, thanks, Julie. This became really timely on Friday, obviously, and speaks to the point earlier about needing to be active in all of these states. But the key thing, Julie, is the heart of Heritage. Our comparative advantage, if you will, is the research that our analysts do. And so our great staff put together this map that shows the specificity of legislation of protections for the unborn state by state. You can find that at heritage.org. And the nice thing about that is we spent our time and resources and talent on that so that Americans across the country, individual grassroots people who are listening to this show now, or for that matter, leaders of other organizations don't have to worry about doing that research themselves. Mm-hmm. we really are a customer service organization for the conservative movement and for the country. And I think that map is perhaps the best tool that's sitting on our website right now.
There are a lot of voices right now who will say that this is going to harm conservatives running for office coming up this November and going forward, because this is now an issue for legislators and not for the judicial branch. I tend to think, actually, that it won't. I actually think it'll actually, now that it's you know, the rubber's hitting the road now, it's actually an important issue for everyone to pay attention to. But what do you think? Is there a danger that this might actually have political ramifications at the ballot box?
None. I understand the question. I think most of that is being fanned by the, you know, the K Street lobbyists who are kind of squishy conservatives to begin with and not good on this issue. But I can tell you, to put some substance behind that claim, I haven't seen a single poll, and as the two of you know, I spent a lot of time looking at them, where there is evidence that suggests that. And so what I would encourage conservative candidates to do around this country is to take a lesson from Reagan, take a lesson from Trump, run on this issue courageously, and don't just talk about the decision, but talk about the opportunity in front of us, which is that Supreme Court majority on Friday didn't just protect the life of the unborn. They gave each of us the opportunity to go build the best version of this American Republic in the history of this nation. This country is not on the verge of collapse. We are on the verge of what can be our golden era if we've got the spine and the courage to go seize that.
Nice.
You know, I also want to read one quick thing from Dobbs. It says, Alito said, Roe and Casey have led to the distortion of many important but unrelated legal doctrines, and that effect provides further support for overruling those decisions. Mm. Just, you know, briefly, can you tell me what other decisions do you think the court might review?
Well, there's a lot of chatter, Julie, based on Justice Thomas's comments about taking the same airtight legal opinion that is in Friday's decision in Dobbs and applying that, for example, to Obergefell. Mm. There, of course, is a wide range of opinions about same-sex marriage in this country. However, if you apply that legal reasoning there, then you might see the court take that up. That's obviously an even more controversial issue politically in this country. So I'm not necessarily predicting that's going to happen as much as to say that there's going to be a lot of conversation about it, as there should be, because logically, legally, philosophically, that ought to be a state issue.
You have an employee, Kevin Roberts, who moved from Texas up to work here in D.C. Your name is Crystal. I think you might be familiar with her. Do you know what I'm talking about?
She's the rock star of media and social media.
Yeah, I spent some time with her at an event Saturday night. I just want you to know she behaved herself, and she's a solid individual.
That's good to know. I'm not surprised by it, but the big question is, did Larry O'Connor behave himself?
We're out of time, Kevin Roberts. It's so great to talk with you, as always. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, my friend. Y'all take care. Keep it up.
Yeah, you keep it up, and Heritage Foundation will keep it up, and thanks to their leadership with Dr. Kevin Roberts. Always good to talk with him.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Making sense of the news.
And joining us right now as we continue our various perspectives on the landmark decision Friday, the Dobbs case that now throws Roe v. Wade into the ash heap of history where it has always belonged. We are joined by Susan Campbell, Executive Director of the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center in Lynchburg, Virginia. And Ms. Campbell, I want to get to the vital work that you're doing, but first, you're in the news, sadly, for really, really bad reasons. I understand your center was vandalized Friday night after this decision?
Yes, it was around 1:30 a.m., and it's just so sad to see people resort to vandalism and destruction like this. However, we're praying for them and we'll forgive them. We're not at all intimidated or dissuaded from our mission to help women and men facing unplanned pregnancies.
And can you describe the extent of the vandalism that your building suffered?
Yes, they came in groups of three or four, hooded and masked, and they were carrying crowbars. They took out most of our windows, doors, and sprayed graffiti, spray paint all over our sidewalks and building.
What's the reaction been from law enforcement and local political leaders there?
Very involved. actively supporting us, making every avenue of assistance, and giving us as much unconditional support now that this has happened as they are able.
That's good to hear.
Let's let people know exactly the reprehensible, evil work that you do there that would bring such a violent reaction, Susan Campbell. What is it that you do at Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center?
Yes, so we've been offering support and resources since 1999. We believe in equipping and empowering men and women to be the best parent they can possibly be. Of course, we're for life, and we hope that every individual will see the desire to further their pregnancy, whether it's to place the baby up in the loving arms and families that are willing to adopt if they do not feel that this point in time in their life is not optimal, or we equip and educate the parent that may be doing it alone or isn't in a perfectly healthy relationship. I believe in education and mentorship. It is what I thrived on as a young mom, and we offer that support unequivocally to everyone that walks through our doors that needs that encouragement and cheerleading.
Susan, we know that the majority of the abortions in this country over the last five decades have been basically matters of convenience and for just your basic unplanned pregnancy. But whenever this discussion occurs where we talk about what life would be like post Roe versus Wade, always the most extreme examples are brought up. What about the 12-year-old girl who is raped and then gets pregnant? As if we don't care about a young girl getting raped. It's horrendous. Well, let's address it head on, because I have actually met and have known children who were born as a result of rapes. These are human beings whose life is worth living. Can you tell me about your center, whether you deal with these extreme and horrible cases? And tell me about what good can come out of that horrific evil act.
Absolutely. So just to state facts, the amount of abortions that are happening due to the result of being raped or any type of violent attack is less than 0.5%. That is a statistic that is proven over and over again based on reporting of these incidences in our local hospitals. The average person in our area that we are able to see and help is in the age range of 17 to 24. That's every major high school and college student. And sadly, they are using abortion as birth control. The atrocities of rape or any type of violent act against a female are simply not the reason that most people are fighting against, and it's just sad how much the facts are actually distorted. They simply just don't know what we do.
Well, talk about distortion, Susan. They also, the left loves to say that pro-lifers just care about the baby when it's in the woman, and then once the baby is born, they abandon these women. That is not true. Tell us a little bit about the supports that you give to women post-birth.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the amazing things that we've been able to do as we've grown in a very smaller city and local area, we were able to move into our new building in January that actually has an entire wing dedicated to education and resources. We are a nonprofit. We don't receive government funding. We work hard and fundraise. Every dollar that we receive are from wonderful people, like yourselves, and that people are passionate about our mission and want to help. So when we give away resources, and I mean armfuls wide, every time they walk through our doors, if financial reasons is a number one reason that people consider abortion, married couples as well feel like they can't afford it. We want to help them counter that belief and that lie that the world is telling them. And there is not a single reason financially for anyone to walk through our doors to not leave fully equipped. And we not only do that at the time of service, at the time of crisis, we follow them for 1 year after life.
Wow.
Postpartum support is one of our biggest options in our center. Again, free of charge to anyone, any race, any age, any sex. We offer these resources so that we can fully equip. We back up what we say. We aren't about just the crisis. We follow through with the physical goods, the baby items, that often diapers and wipes, formula could be your most expensive thing on your shopping list. and you get that from us for 1 year. After that, we are an area that is full of other resourceful organizations that are willing to step right in that gap and take over from there. And the only reason we don't go beyond 1 year of life is simply our capacity of staff and our space and our building. We have a boutique that is filled from local people, donations from churches, organizations, and individuals, and it's given away freely in abundance every day.
Susan Campbell, it's a phrase that's tossed around too lightly, but I'll just say it for real. You're doing the Lord's work. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry that you had to suffer this the attack from these vandals. Please get some security and make sure that everybody there is protected, because you've got to keep doing your great work at Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center in Lynchburg. Thank you so much.
Now
on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
8:37 here on O'Connor and Company. It's Larry O'Connor with Julie Gundlach on an incredibly busy morning here, as so much of our focus has been on this Dobbs decision Friday and the brave new world that we encounter today, the post-Roe v. Wade America 50 years later. It's really something to behold. But we're not forgetting some of the other stories that have captured our attention. Julie, I know that you and the team at IWF had that great rally on the mall on the 50th anniversary of Title IX last week, the Our Bodies, Our Sports rally, which looked fantastic.
We covered
it left and right. And joining us right now is Madison DeBose. She actually represents exactly the issue here, cross-country runner. And Madison, first of all, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And are you in high school right now or college?
I am in college.
All right. And your relay team actually ran up against a team that had a biological male. Is that correct?
Yes.
By the way, for those of you who are wondering, we use the term biological male to describe what used to be quaintly referred to as a man. It's a man. All right. Sorry. I just wanted to get through that. Tell me about this. And what first of all, do you think that the other team had an unfair advantage because of this?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Were you able to complain at all? Did your coach complain? Anybody in the sort of governing body of your sport?
You know, I think that it happened kind of out of nowhere, because this athlete had ran on the men's side for 3 years, I believe it was. And then all of a sudden, starting my freshman year, so this is in 2019-2020, they had transitioned, and that's when we kind of found out everything. I know it was the talk of spectators, every team, every coach, but I think it was kind of new, and, you know, it was just, when something like that kind of happens, I feel like you don't exactly, especially being a freshman in college or a college athlete, you know, it's not really our job to be making these rules, and, you know, we would hope that we're being protected as women to have a fair playing field. It really took us by surprise in the moment.
Madison, you say this happened in 2019, and back then, I'm sorry, I'm tongue-tied here, but objecting to any sort of male-bodied athlete competing against women was really frowned upon. How were you made to feel? You say that there was talk, there was concern. Were you allowed, or did you feel able or supported in lodging any concerns or complaints?
Yeah, you know, I think it's terrifying to speak out about something like that, because in this world, you know, you fear the consequences that come along with it. You know, people come at you every way, and I know there are, when we say like we really are the majority, like we are, I know a lot of people did not stand for it, knew that it was not fair, but again, we're too scared to speak out, and so I think it kind of took, I actually had a teammate who spoke out against it very early, and I think it just took a couple people, and then I think together we are better as a bigger voice. And so I think as it went on, it was like, okay, if we can stand together, then we can create fairness in women's sports. But with that being said, it's still scary to speak out because you don't know what people are going to say. You don't know what people are going to do. You don't know future consequences.
Well, and you don't know the status of your scholarship or your placement on the team. I mean, there can be retribution for speaking out so bravely like this, which I know is another concern. We've seen some movement in competitive swimming. What is your school and sort of the greater sort of competitive running sports? What are they? Have you heard anything? Are they doing anything? Are they focusing on this? And I thought it was really interesting because you said, you know, it's not my job. You're a kid. You're in school. You know, when I say that, I mean the adults in the room who really should be dealing with this.
Right.
Are they addressing your concerns and are they making changes so that fairness is brought back into sports?
You know, I haven't really heard much within the running world. I haven't heard much from my school, but I do know that we have a lot of support behind us and our coach has been super awesome. So I know that we have that support behind us, but no, I haven't, you know, in the running world, I haven't heard much come out. Like, I know they just came out with stuff in swimming, which I think is definitely a step in the right direction. And I hope that we can do that across the board in all sports.
Well, I appreciate your courage. It shouldn't take courage to step up and say, I'm a woman. I've been running my whole life all through high school, get to college, and I shouldn't have to compete against men. That should be a courageous thing to say, but it does take courage, and I appreciate you doing it. I really do.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on here.
You bet. A great article, by the way. She wrote about her story over at foxnews.com. And, Madison, real fast, we're told that this is such an outlier. It's such a niche thing. This isn't happening a lot. It seems to me, especially if it happened in your small school and in the league that you run, and that this is just the beginning. There will be a tide of these athletes.
Oh, yeah. And I think going to this rally was, you know, I talked to a lot of people about it. I was like, we have no idea what's going on out here. Like, it took the one case within swimming for everything to kind of blow up. But it's like mine happened in 2019, 2020. And I've talked to so many women that, you know, it's happened to. So, yeah, it's happening everywhere.
Well, thank you. Thank you for speaking out. And we'll continue to amplify voices like yours. I appreciate you joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
It's 8:43. This Myra Flores, Congresswoman Myra Flores, I'm liking her more and more every day. This is that Republican who flipped that Democrat seat down in Texas on the border. In the special election 2 weeks ago. Did you see the video of her getting sworn in after the special election? This happened last week.
I did, but you should describe it.
Well, so there's Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and she's holding, her husband holds the Bible. So I guess Nancy Pelosi is doing the swearing in. And Myra Flores has she's about 6 or 7 years old, a daughter, who's standing next to the speaker. And apparently Nancy Pelosi, you know how Nancy Pelosi loves the children.
Yeah,
she says, well, not all children, apparently, because she didn't like the fact that this young, lovely girl was standing a little too close to her for the photo op.
Teeny girl. Two teeny girls.
Yeah, she's not. Yeah. And this, I mean, her shoulder comes up to Nancy Pelosi's elbow. That's how short she is. So Nancy Pelosi uses that elbow and starts like nudging her. Like she's like Elvin Hayes trying to clear out for the rebound after a jump shot.
I mean,
the Washington Bullets.
If this doesn't sum up how Democrats think of children.
Yeah. Right? You're in my way for the picture. It's a photo op, you little brat.
You're inconvenient. It's all about me.
That's right. Yes. So she's elbowing this little girl. And I kid you not, this sweet girl, she puts her hand on her hip.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. And moves right back to her spot. You're not going to push her off of her block.
Queen.
Yes, she is. In fact, Myra Flores. So James Woods, the actor, he tweeted out the video of this. It's hilarious. And Myra Flores saw that and retweeted James Woods and said, I'm so proud of my strong, beautiful daughter for not allowing this to phase her. She continued to smile and pose for the picture like a queen.
There you go.
No child should be pushed to the side for a photo op. Period. So the young congresswoman from Texas already understands exactly what Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, is all about.
Yes, one other chilling detail here is that while Nancy Pelosi is elbowing this teeny little girl, she's smiling with her like Joker frozen smile.
Uh-huh.
It's all very creepy.
Meanwhile, another weird photo op over at the G7. You know, the G7's going on in Austria. And you got this picture of you got Macron, you got Trudeau, you got Johnson, Boris Johnson. You got the new premier of Germany there. I forget his name. He's a German, so, you know.
He looks uncomfortable.
Trust me. And then the Japanese prime minister. Anyway, they've all got their arms around each other on their shoulders, like a big old bro hug, you know, posing in the picture. And then there's Joe Biden with nobody. Like,
okay, oh, no. But, no, in this case, okay, look, I'm happy to beat up on Joe Biden any day, but Joe looks like the grown-up. He does in this case. Like, they're all doing this bro hug, which is so weird.
Well, it's what frat boys do at a wedding, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. It doesn't belong here. And then Biden is standing there like a normal person. I applaud him for that.
I think he's standing there because he has no idea where he is. And I assure you, when he sees this picture, he's going to be like, oh, I missed out on that. Oh, thanks, Obama. Meanwhile, get this. Johnny Depp, it is now being floated that he will return to the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Thank goodness. Good. That was a bad mistake.
I guess the lawsuit worked. One last item. This is really sad. Ocean City, Maryland, has announced that they are going to have to cancel their annual 4th of July celebration.
Oh, no.
The fireworks in Ocean City and in College Park, by the way, here in Maryland, or here in College Park, Maryland, they've had to cancel their fireworks because of labor and supply chain issues.
That's really too bad. Really too bad.
Joe Biden's America.
Yep.
It's 8:50. Hi, Julie Gunlock. A great day today. Well done.
Thank you for being here.
And we'll be back at it tomorrow with Alexandra DeSanctis. She has a brand new book hitting tomorrow about abortion in America. Nice timing there. And look at this. He is back. Our very own anti-Antifa marcher, Chris Plant.
I am anti-Antifa, as a matter of fact. My best girl, you know, we were on vacation. We went to America for a period of time.
It was that place.
Very nice. Yeah, it's still there. It still exists. I can report from the other side of the wall that America is still there. We were in Michigan, of course. And yesterday, well, we came back Saturday night. And yesterday we went to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Where there were, what is the term, mental people. A lot of,
is that the word?
Yeah, that's a lot of word. Mental. I'm trying to be as polite as possible. And a lot of mental people, and got a bit of that for you. Got a little bit of vacation. Got, you know, turns out Roe v. Wade, it's the biggest news story I ever had the day off for, ever. Pretty amazing stuff. So naturally, you know, arson. I don't know, has there been any looting, or are we still looking forward to that? Arson, vandalism, threats.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.